You're listening to a podcast from Hope FM.
Hey, I'm Rachel Lampa, and this is my episode of The Artist Interview on Hope FM.
Don't gotta be somebody when I'm already somebody to you. Got nothing to prove anymore, so there's nothing to lose anymore. You're gonna keep on loving me for more than just the things that I do.
And that was Somebody to You by the wonderful Rachel Lampa. Hey, Rachel, how are you doing?
I'm doing so good. How are you?
Very well. It's great to have you back on the show this side of the pond. Obviously, you're in the US. Whereabouts are you?
I'm in Nashville, Tennessee today.
Okay. So Do you spend most of your time in Nashville?
I do. Yes. That's where I'm at for now. Just kind of settling in, had some babies and decided to settle into Nashville. But I grew up in Colorado, so for a little context.
Well, let's rewind time then. Going back to, were you born in Colorado?
I was born in Michigan.
Okay. Being a bit over the place.
Lived there for about 6 years, but grew up in Colorado.
So could you tell us a little bit about your life story of how you came to be a follower of Jesus and how music became a key part of your life?
Yeah. So I grew up in Colorado, actually grew up Catholic. So I was, you know, going to, this beautiful Catholic church in right outside of Boulder. Just got to learn about the power of God and the power of love, the power of prayer, the power of Jesus. Kind of like didn't grow up on Christian music at all. There wasn't a lot of Christian music around, in my community. So, I would sing at church. But I would sing like Mariah Carey songs and Whitney Houston songs. And I would just like, I'm like, is this, I think this is about God. To me, it's about God. So here we go. So I would sing these songs, and over time, you know, people would say, oh, you know, you should sing Christian music. And I, again, was just like, I don't know what that is, but it opened, you know, my mind and my heart to, like, you know, the power of like what you can do through music, you know. And this was the thing, you know, that I loved, that I always did, no matter where I was. I would sing my books, I would sing at the dinner table. So I started to kind of think about, you know, what if I, you know, wrote my own songs, or what if I sung songs about God. And
what age was that roughly then that you started writing your first songs?
I mean, I wrote my first song, I think, when I was 5, but I don't know if, you know, you'd call that a song, but it was something. But
do you remember it?
Not at all. Not at all.
Oh, shame.
This is all
that'd be in a good moment.
Yeah, this is all like mom's tale. So we'll see how, you know, how actually accurate that is if I ask my mom. But the first song I really like wrote, I think I was about 13, 14.
Okay. And with regards to like your walk with Jesus, then was there a time when you went, yeah, I'm actually definitely going to believe this for myself? Or was it just a continuum and you always just did believe?
I think it's a little bit of a hybrid of both of those. I grew up in church. So I kind of just started praying automatically when I was little, you know, and just kind of understanding it as a little kid would, you know. But I was actually at a little youth conference when I was 14. It was kind of that moment where they said, okay, it's been a fun weekend. We've played lots of games and had lots of fun, but we want everybody to go off into their own space and talk to God. And that was the first time that I felt like I actually was talking to somebody that I was close to, and that God was somebody who cared about me and that would be part of my life and be the voice in my heart and the voice in my head. And that's when I really started to figure out that piece of the story. So I would say that was kind of one of the biggest moments for sure, as far as, you know, me and God's story.
And when you came back from the camp, did you was it, did you tell your mum or whoever was at home? Did you tell them, and what did they say?
Yeah, you know, I think I actually didn't even, it wasn't even before I got home. So at that conference, I was scheduled, you know, I was kind of the singer girl around town. So at that conference, I was asked to kind of sing a song at the end of the whole conference. So my parents came, to the conference to watch me sing. And right as I was going on stage, they said, wait, before you go on stage, we wanted to let you know that you've been invited to come sing at an event in the mountains. It's an event like a Christian music festival, basically, which, again, I didn't really know what Christian music was, but it was a festival that was going on up in the mountains. And so they said, you know, you're going to be like going on after Amy Grant and Michael W. Smith. They have a big show up in the mountains, and you're going to sing at the coffee shop next door after
okay.
the show.
Yeah, after hours. I thought it was quite amazing because you said you'll be going after Amy and
right,
Michael.
Right,
I thought they were your opening act. So, yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. So in my head, you know, I'm just like, oh my gosh, all this is happening. So I was able to, you know, after my song and after that, you know, tell my mom, like, I had this moment with God, and now, you know, this opportunity is coming. And that opportunity was the day that I got signed, you know, that I got approached to sign a record deal, and kind of that whole journey started from that show.
Well, hold it. What age did you get approached for a record deal?
14. Yeah.
14.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Were you a very mature 14-year-old?
I think I was probably more mature than I am now. I think I thought I was. I think I probably thought I had it all together.
So you got approached. Which record label was it? Did you sign with them?
I ended up signing with one of them that approached me. Yeah, it was Word Records that approached me that day. But there were a few... it was kind of back in the day, you know, when in like, it was the year 99, 2000, when, you know, that was actually how it worked. Like, you know, you'd get approached by a record, you know, label, and kind of like the movies. These days, it's not at all like that. but I just thought it was so interesting because that was the day that I decided to really, to live my life for God, you know, and with God, really. I think in my head, that was probably more my mindset was like, okay, so God cares about me. I love him. He loves me. Like, so I'm going to live my life with him, you know? So whatever I do from now on, it's going to be with him, you know? And I don't even think in my head, it wasn't this language of like for him, you know, for people. Like, I think it was just this really sweet. And I really like that, you know, that this is the way that God communicated to me, was like, we're going to do this together. Like, this is not, I'm not going to throw you into, you know, a pack of wolves and say, go speak my name. You know, he's like, let's do this together. Like, let's go enjoy your gift that I've given you. Let's spread love. Let's spread the name of Jesus. And, so yeah, it was the same day that I just, you know, I heard from God in that way, that I was also, you know, kind of, my journey kind of took that turn into music.
Wow. Well, that is really exciting. And if God opens a door, it's great to trust him and walk through it. So you signed, you are on a trajectory that for many people would be an absolute dream. I don't know what metric you use to measure it, but did you have whatever you would call success?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, yeah, exactly. What is success, and like how do we want to measure that or define it? At the time, I was in the summer of my eighth grade year. So I was going into high school. I was going into ninth grade. I don't know what you guys call it over there.
No, I've no idea. But just if you tell me your age, then I'll know what it would be.
I was 14. Yeah, I was 14.
Oh, so it was when you were 14 going, well, that's just early secondary school. That's what we call it in the UK.
Okay, yes, that sounds right. So at that time, you know, life was simple. Like, I was like, oh, I get to go travel the world and sing songs. Like, of course, like, that's, you know, success in my head was not like, you know, I need to win a Grammy and make a bunch of money. Like, none of that was on my radar at all. It was like, I get to let this new adventure begin and let this new joy in my heart like out, and I get to share about this God that I love, and so, at the time it was like, yeah, success was, being able to do the things that I love and come home to my family. And I have, three siblings and lots, I played a lot of sports, and I wanted to have it all, like any other kid. And so, but yeah, I think people did start to listen to the music, and people started to connect with the music. And so, yeah, we, I kind of didn't really expect what was next, as far as like 7 straight years of touring and recording.
Wow. So in 7 years of recording and touring, I'm going to guess you worked alongside lots of people who, for many people, would be like, wow, big names. And also, you released probably a ton of music. So did, albums. How many albums did you release during that time?
Yeah, like from like age 14 to 21, probably like 4 or 5 albums, in certain forms, like 3 full-length albums. There was like a remix album. There were some other like independent projects here and there. So, over the course of that 7 and even maybe like 10 years, there were like, yeah, there were probably, gosh, yeah, maybe five to seven. I'm not sure.
It's time flies when you're having fun,
It
but clearly you were clearly working quite hard.
Yes.
And so who did you work alongside that, looking back, you go, wow, that was an extraordinary experience?
Yeah. I mean, I got to do some really fun things, like with like Boys to Men. I don't know if you remember them, and Destiny's Child back then.
Wow.
I got to tour with them a little bit. Some of the more like long-lasting friendships and stuff were with like Amy Grant, being able to tour with Amy, Michael W. Smith, and a lot of those, kind of like now they are classic, big classic artists that we all, are all like part of our childhood and stuff. So they were pretty instrumental in kind of the past, yeah, now it's 20-ish years.
Wow. Okay. So it sounds like it was a real journey. It sounds like it was a real blast. Everything you said about it sounds great, but I know that being on the road is not an easy thing, and I know that it takes a toll on people. So tell us a bit about how things progressed.
Yeah, so I mean, as with any teenager, like, there's all this identity stuff happening in our heads, there's in our hearts, there's heartbreak, there's all this growth, all these questions, and trying to figure everything out, is happening. And then I, for my scenario, it was happening in public, and on stage, and sometimes away from my friends and family. And so, there were a lot of, things that weren't ideal. There were definitely moments where I was, very lonely or very confused or just tired, and burnt out. And that was a big one, was just, just feeling like, I kind of had to always say yes, and I knew exactly how to make it look like I was doing fine when I wasn't. So, having to do that as a kid is one thing, and then having to kind of grow up and try to figure out what was real there, and what was, when I was far away from myself, and being far away from myself, meaning being far away from God, and kind of getting disconnected from that focus, and that like that center of my life, definitely like took its toll, and definitely caused me to, at age 21, just completely walk away from the whole thing.
Which is an extraordinary thing to do, because I think lots of people just keep going and keep going and keep going. When you came to that decision, what did people around you, what were they saying?
I feel like, I'm sure there were a lot of people speaking into that and telling me like, no, don't do it. What are you doing? But I don't think I was listening. I was 21, I was like, I'm gonna do what I'm gonna do. But I also had, I know that the very instrumental people in my life were my older brother, my mom, and they're all they wanted for me was to hear from God and trust him in whatever I decided to do. And I did really feel like I was hearing from God that he's going to take care of me no matter what, and that even though it was completely against the norm and against the industry standard, that he was gonna stay with me and lead me through the next part.
Because if you walk away, I'm gonna guess people say you walk away. There's no coming back. You it's a it's a, it's a, you're saying bye to all of this.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah, and just like, you're in the middle of your success, and like, and all my friends, being 21, all my friends had just graduated high school or graduated college, and they were, getting ready to start their whole lives, and I was kind of ending my, what I thought I'd be doing my whole life. So it was definitely like, definitely made no sense to a lot of people.
And did you have any idea what you wanted to do at that point, or was it you just had to stop because you were burnt out?
Yeah, I had no idea. No idea. I ended up becoming a nanny for a year, and just, hanging out with babies and kind of just slowing down and resetting and staying in one place. I hadn't known how to stay in one place, in 7 years. So that was the first thing I did. And then what ended up coming from that was, I moved to California, moved to LA, and just wanted to see what I could, what, you know, I, yeah, what, like, what God would want to do with me there through music. And I ended up singing backgrounds for some artists along the way. Jordan Sparks, we toured with the Jonas Brothers and Britney Spears, and we and another artist named Hozier. And through these backgrounds, I kind of got to return to little Rachel, my inner child Rachel, who got this gift when she was little from God of singing, of and without pressure and without the spotlight. It was just me and honestly, without even words, I had to sing oohs and ahs. I was singing backgrounds. So I'm standing in the dark, singing oohs and ahs, just worshiping, knowing that God was just, he just wanted to spend time with me again, and he wanted me to enjoy my gift again outside of the pressure and outside of the exhaustion. So it was this really beautiful time of like kind of getting that joy back and that peace back through music.
Wow. So what year was that then?
So that all started around like 2009-ish. Yeah.
Okay. So 2009, you're enjoying God's presence, his love again, and being able to sing. But what else is going on then? 2009. So you're at what age? 21?
Gosh, what was I? Well, yeah, so that was like over the course of a few years. So it was probably, yeah, 2007 through 10 were like the backgrounds and the moving and the all the, the in-between stuff. I had met my husband and I got married in 2010. So I was about 25 at that point, and in 2000.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. I was going to ask about that because you mentioned about heartbreak when you were on the tour and all the rest of it when you were a bit younger. But God had a plan in you stepping away. So you met your husband. What's his name?
Brendan.
Brendan. Okay. So how long have you been married now?
Oh my gosh, yesterday was our 14th anniversary.
Congratulations. I'm glad you remembered, seeing as it's just
I know,
yesterday.
right?
So
Well, 2010 makes it really easy. Can
that
you
does
do
actually
math for me?
that's true. So okay, so you got married, and you mentioned earlier on babies as well. Since you and I've last spoken, I think that's right, isn't it? So tell us a little bit about your journey with babies.
Yeah, so I mean, I continued kind of this backgrounds process. The other really big thing that I became part of was a nonprofit that my family and I run called People Loving Nashville. And we serve people here in Nashville that are unhoused or dealing with incarceration, either coming in, going out, all the above. Just people that are in a vulnerable spot that need some good community. and consistency. So we do lots of outreaches all throughout the week to be able to spend time with these friends and help them with food and clothes and resources and all that kind of stuff. And that's actually what ended up inspiring all my new songs. Was my time with women in prison, actually.
Wow.
Yeah, so there's that little overlap, that little connection. But yes, you asked about babies too, so I can come back to we
Yeah,
can
no. I'm interested in what you're talking about. Actually, both of those things would be interesting to me.
Sure,
So,
yeah.
just tell me a little bit more about this. So I was in Nashville last year, and I was aware there were some people who looked like they were struggling a bit in life. And is there a whole subculture in Nashville? Because obviously you got your main street where it's like downtown and it's all party bars and all the rest of it. But what is it that you're encountering that perhaps isn't seen to tourists?
Yeah, I mean, they're, just like any other city, really. It's there, you start looking deeper, you start looking under bridges and over by, railroad tracks, and you start seeing tents and you start seeing little setups for homes. And we've, there's definitely just in the US at least, a really big problem with being able to help people get out of those situations. There's not enough housing. The housing is expensive. There's not a lot of support for, addictions and just kind of getting into the trenches with people. It's just, it's a complicated thing. But we realize that one of the biggest problems with anyone who's struggling, whether you have a home or not, like, community is what we're made for, and it's the kingdom of God, and that's the way that we find God here on earth, is like through the love of others and through loving others. And so we, every week there are multiple things throughout the week, but our main event is on Monday nights. So every Monday night for the past 15 years, we have People Loving Nashville has showed up every Monday night with about 400 to 500 meals, and some smiling faces of, consistent friends over 15 years, of being able to, when there's so much unknown in the world and throughout the week, it's like to know that's going to be there every Monday has been a really healing thing for lots of people, volunteers or the people we're serving. It's kind of just an altogether like win because, God shows up, and we just we find that we're so much more connected and connected than we thought we were. And so it's been this really beautiful community and something that's, inspired most of my new songs. So it's been really cool.
Did you say you set it up with your family?
Yes, yeah. My older brother runs it. My little sister runs the kitchen. And then me and my brother, we kind of float throughout, kind of just help out with the people stuff.
What sort of skill set and specialisms and training did you have to set something up? Because I would think it could be quite, I'm going to say a little bit frightening, sometimes coming into contact with people. I've no idea how you assess and work out what you do and don't do. To tell us about how on earth was it one of those God things? How did it actually start, and how did you know what to do?
We are the most underqualified people that you could ever imagine. Like, literally none of us went to school. None of us went to school. Sorry, that's not the most inspiring thing for
You, you, you just just for internationalization, I'm going to say none of you went to
Yes,
university.
university.
Because if you said none of you went to school, I mean, you played truant for like 18 years.
No, university. And so none of us, went to go study, any of that. We literally, but my mom, when we were younger, would, when we'd have leftover from meals, especially like on holidays, we'd pack them up into separate, bags, and she would drop us off, in the city, and we'd go talk to people and ask them if they were hungry. And so she kind of woke that up in us really early in life. Just the comfort of being able to befriend somebody first and look them in the eye, and then, decide to, ask them if they need any further help or anything like that. And so that was kind of the best training and the most training that we had. But other than that, it was born out of my older brother. He lived in an apartment in Nashville, and there were some people that were sleeping on a porch not far off, and he befriended them and asked them what they needed, and even tried at sometimes to give them money, and they said they just wanted a friend and they just wanted somebody to walk with and talk with. And so kind of through, this is the shortened version because there's a long version, but through meeting every Monday and deciding to just commit to showing up, we'd bring our friends, they'd bring their friends, we'd become friends, we were each other's friends. And then over the years, it's come to about, 400 to 500 people that we feed on Monday nights, and then beyond that, there's other nights too. So
It's amazing, absolutely amazing, and I don't think I've heard of a ministry where they actually had the core thing is becoming friends. I'm sure there are others, but for me that's like, wow, that's actually an astounding thing, and what a lovely thing to do. Okay, so I mentioned babies because I do want to find out as well about that, because I know there's something that is really significant in that as well for you. So tell us about that.
So I had my first baby, my first little boy is he's 7 now, so that was 7 years ago. Kind of at the time was like, yep, this is it for me. I'm just gonna be a mom. I'm not gonna do music again. I just love this. And then I through working with People Loving Nashville, started working with women in prison, and having a lot of song ideas and moments, that were just so life-changing for me that I needed to write about them. On top of that, I was like, I'm pregnant. Like I don't need to be starting my music career again. I'm having another baby. Through a chain of events, I ended up recording some of these songs, and people started listening to them, and it's been this really beautiful thing. But again, like God is just, he's fun. And he decided that I would also be giving birth to a sweet little miracle at the same time, and he's totally, changed our lives. So I had Leo about almost a year and a half ago, and he was born with Down syndrome, and so we've just kind of embarked on this new, world of just of this beautiful kid and all of his complexities and all of his sweetness, all of his simplicities, and yeah, it's just been this really, only God could write this kind of story, I think,
Yeah.
is how I could put it.
So I read actually back on your social media the announcement that you put out publicly once you'd got to the right moment to do that. And I was like, oh, that really, I felt a little bit tearful actually. I thought it was really beautiful. And I thought, wow, you're going to be an amazing mum. I was like, wow, isn't that great? I've got some friends and
Thank you.
their child has Downs, and I think there's a process that people go through. In the UK, they will routinely offer you a test to see if your child has Downs. So my wife and I decided we wouldn't have the tests because it made no difference to our decisions. So, but for you, did you know in advance that you were going to have a child with?
So we had we had an early test for some other things, actually. It was just, that wasn't even in our head as to, what the test was for. But we had to do it for just health reasons and stuff. And so we got the test, and they told us there was a 99% chance that he would have Down syndrome.
Okay.
So we immediately started kind of looking into, I started following all the Instagram groups and, joining all the newsletters and all that kind of stuff, and just kind of immersing myself into that community. And so by the time he got here, I was already in love with the community that he was bringing us into just by existing.
And for people who don't know, could you tell us a little bit about the complications that Downs brings?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really, really wide spectrum of symptoms, I guess you could say, and characteristics of Down syndrome. So some babies are born, I think about 50% of babies are born with heart defects and need need surgery immediately. And we are so, so thankful that we didn't have to do any of that with Leo. He has no heart problems. He's kind of just taking us on a slow motion journey of babyhood, you know, which is so fun. And it makes me, I'm totally going to ask God when I get to heaven, like, why do we have to grow so much in our first year? Because, you know, he's a year and a half. He's not, you know, crawling or walking or anything like that. And it's the best, because I'm just like, let's be babies longer. You know, we grow up too fast. We have, you know, the world gets too, you know, too big, too fast. And so it was really sweet it's been really sweet to just have, you know, this sweet, slow process of him growing. And so, you know, that's one of the characteristics, is just kind of slower development. And and you know, we're just getting to know him. He's just a, you know, he's just a person, you know, he's just a sweet little human with his own range of emotions. I mean, he is the smiliest kid you've ever met. He's happy. He loves people. He will just play games with people like all day long, just like little like peekaboo and like all that. So he's just like always wanting to be around people. So he's just given us little glimpses into what our lives are going to be like. And for sure, there will be harder times. There will be complications along the way. There will be, you know, they're more susceptible to sickness and things like that. So he's going to be a little more fragile in that way. But right, you know, we're a year and a half in, and it's been just the sweetest, sweetest time.
Oh, that's lovely to hear. And and probably a real encouragement to some people who might be at this very moment potentially facing having a child that is going to be something different to what they might expect. Can you tell me what advice would you have for any listener, maybe a parent to be or a grandparent who's just about to embark on this journey?
Yeah. I mean, I think a part of it that is really important is to be able to have that moment where you are mourning the loss of the idea of what kind of child you were going to have. You know, I think a lot of people, there's a lot of shame out there on people who are like shocked and hurt and worried about the diagnosis, you know, and there shouldn't be shame around it. There should always be space for people to feel what they need to feel and have that moment of, okay, that was not what I was expecting from that phone call. And that was not, the picture that I had in my mind. And I can, you know, I can accept that, and I can bring that to the Lord and walk with him and work with him on that. And then you can step into, you know, where I went was like straight to, you know, okay, who else is out there? Who do I get to, you know, learn from and be inspired from? And, but that only came after a lot of tears. Like, I had a lot of tears, you know, I didn't know a thing about it. I didn't know if, you know, he would be sick or any of that stuff. So, you know, that's kind of the first thing. But the second thing I think is, I have a friend who has a child with Down syndrome, and she says I think the whole idea was that like we grow up kind of thinking that like we need to help people that have disabilities or other abilities, but really they're the ones who need to help us, you know, and that their child is the one who healed something inside of them, when we're really, you know, we're like, what do we need to bring to them? What do we need to do to heal them or fix them or whatever? And it's like, no, we're the ones who need them, to fix us and heal us. And, we're seeing that already. It's such a blessing. I mean, we get to wake up to like, he's just like this piece of heaven in our house every single day. You're just like, you can't not be, changed and moved when you're around him.
Wow, that's beautiful, and I would imagine very encouraging for people who right now might be just going, I've no idea what I'm facing, but clearly there's so much joy, and seeing you smiling when you're talking about Leo is so great.
The Artist Interview Podcast with Gordon T.
So the track we played right at the start of the interview was Somebody to You, which is with Andrew Rip. And we've had him on the show before. Yeah. Really, really nice guy. So is he one of the people who is in your circle of close friends that you're working with?
Yes. Yep. He is one of our best friends. He's the godfather to my kid. I'm the godmother to his kid. And we're neighbors. So they were just over last night. We trade off our kids every Wednesday night so that each other can have date nights with our spouses.
That's
and so
great.
Yeah. So we are very, very close. And he's kind of the one who was like, you know, we're in a small group together, like a Bible study together. And so when I, you know, came to Bible study, you know, all those years ago and said, oh, I've been working with these women in prison and I'm just so inspired. And he's like, man, you got to write a song about it. And I'm like, no, I don't. I'm not a singer. I'm not going to write songs. And he's like, yes, you are.
Wow.
And so he was kind of the one who kind of pushed me back into writing and all of that. So yeah, he's one of the family.
Wow. That's lovely. What a great guy. And people that we've talked to as well, who've worked with him have often said how encouraging he's been and what inspiration is. He's somebody who gets behind people and wants to lift them up and help them find their gift set. So that's great that he encouraged you back into it as well. I didn't know you were neighbors. That's super cool. So, we've got time. We've got time for another track. So, and the track's called Perfectly Loved, featuring none other than Toby Mac. So can you tell us how did that come about and what's the track all about?
Okay, so this is the first song that came out of my whole hiatus. I'm not a singer anymore time. I was able to sit with these women that are incarcerated and watch them look at God in a new way and see God for the first time for his love and not for his judgment and not for the fear and shame that they had learned when they were younger. They got to look at healing and consider letting God be part of their lives. And this is the song that I wrote for them originally and didn't really plan on putting it out or putting it on the radio or anything like that. But the connection with Toby is that his wife actually teaches the Bible classes for our prison ministry. And we call ourselves the Wild Ones. So she teaches about the Wild Ones of the Bible and about the wild love of God, Jesus being the wildest one, pushing against all of the normal ways to love and be together. And so Toby was very familiar with who I was speaking to and singing to. And so I asked him to join me and he didn't hesitate to sing along.
Ooh, either way you were running, either way you were hiding, never been a moment that you were not perfectly loved. When you barely believed it, when your eyes couldn't see it, every single moment you've always been perfectly loved. Ooh, perfectly loved.
And that was Perfectly Loved by Rachel Lampard. I'm so pleased that Rachel's still with us here for the artist interview. Rachel, thanks for all that you've shared. What a journey God's been taking you on. I'm sure there's going to be people who've listened who've gone, wow, I can so relate to this bit or that bit, or the disappointments of things not working out as we expect, and still God having a bigger plan as well. And for some people, they really won't be sure who this God is that we're talking about at all. But if right now you're willing to pray for people, that'd be really appreciated.
Yeah, definitely. God, thank you for just being in our midst, in our presence. Thank you for sitting with us wherever we are right now, whether we're in our cars, we're laying in bed, we are running around getting meals ready for our kids, or at work. We just we thank you that you are all places at once, that you are all things at once, that you are loving, you're kind, you're just, you are active and moving and living and breathing. And we thank you that that you know us as you created us. You know us as human beings, and that you don't ask us to be more than that. You don't ask us to be perfect. You don't ask us to be blameless and shameless. And you take us where we are. You meet us where we are. And by being with you, we are made right again. And so we pray today just for the things that are in the way of us being with you, that they will, that you will move them. And that we will hear you when you call us, and when you say that there is something in the way, when you say that there there's something that is blocking your voice in our lives, your presence, that we would hear you, we would have courage, we would have bravery, and just all of the tools that we need in you to get to you and to be with you. So as we walk, as we live the rest of our day, help us not to get too caught up in perfection, but more just caught up in your presence. We just thank you that's all you ask. We love you so, so much. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Rachel. So talking about God being totally trustworthy, Rachel, can you tell me what are you planning over the next season then? You're saying you're going a bit slower, but also you're putting music out. So next, what's your sort of heart's aim for the next 2 to 3 years?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a continuation of what we're doing right now, which is, you know, when we have childcare for all the kids, we get together and we write a song. You know, that's like all we can promise ourselves right now. And so the last time we wrote a song, called High Hopes. And so that has just been released. So right now I'm just kind of enjoying that. I'm just enjoying having that out into the world, being able to speak about it and sing about it, and even like being open to what God is telling me through the song. So that one, you know, is kind of the focus right now. And then, eventually I think, you know, within the next few months, these songs will come together as an album, and we'll kind of make an announcement about, an album.
Boom. That's exciting. So, So if people have enjoyed hearing some of your music, maybe they haven't heard you much before, but they've listened to you today and gone, "Ooh, that's really great. I like her." How would they connect you? How would they find you? Where are you on socials and the web?
Yeah. All the places, pretty much all the places. So it's, you know, Instagram, it's Rachel Lampa, RachaelLampa.
So, what about God teaching you things? What are the areas of your life that he's working on? And what are the things that you feel are God's priorities for you? And also I was going to say, how do you keep yourself connected to God in the middle of all the stuff that's going on?
Yeah. I mean, something that he's teaching me, ways that I'm connecting with him. I think it's really about a new way that I've been praying lately is not so much like coming to God with like my list of things that I want done and changed and fixed and healed. And it's more about what are the things that I want to give to God and hand over to him. I just feel like I'm in a season where that is the language that God and I are speaking. And you know, whether it's anxiety or it's worried about the future, about the kids, about all that stuff, there's so much on my list, I guess, you know, in so many different ways, on my to-do list, my prayer list, my you know, my heart list. And it's like I feel like the way that I've been praying lately is what do I want to give to God? What can I give to God right now? And he's really been meeting me in that way lately. And so that's kind of the overall question to your, or the overall answer to your question is, continuing to give things and hand things over and lay things at his feet has been the way that I connect to God, and also just my survival of life in general.
Cool. And with the Bible, do you have a favorite Bible story? And if so, what is it and why?
Gosh, you know, that's one of those things that like changes all the time. I'm really loving I've gone back to, this is a very, classic story, but it was reworded for me in a way recently that has kind of blown up my head. and it's the prodigal son. When the son comes back, comes back to his home after kind of running away, basically. But somebody renamed this story to the running father. Instead of the prodigal son coming home, it's the father running. It shines the light on the father running towards him. And it just kind of has really changed things in my head about how, again, just kind of all these things coming together of like, how do I hand things off to God? How do I, instead of like this visual of me just like clawing at, you know, life and just barely hanging on, like how can we really trust when and believe that when he says he loves us, he just does. He really loves us. He loves us like a father and as a parent, and as a parent myself, like there's nothing I wouldn't do to get to them, to my kids. And so to be able to look at him in that way in this season of my life has just been really, really beautiful.
Wow, it's an absolutely amazing way to think about it, rather than us trying to get back to God. God's already running to us with his arms open wide. I love it. What encouragement. That's great, Rachel. So are there any other words of wisdom? Do you like to speak to people who, and you mentioned your burnout, you mentioned that you'd run, you mentioned perfectionism as well. Are there any words of wisdom you'd have to speak to people right now who might be feeling in that situation?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of what I wrote Perfectly Loved about. In the course, it just says, even when you were running, even when you were hiding, there's never been a moment that you were not perfectly loved. I think it's again, it's a continuation of just actually believing what he's said, what God has said to us and about us, that he treasures us, that he doesn't look away, he doesn't leave, that he is deep down ingrained in you because he made you. So you're made to accept his love and to receive his love. The things that can happen, the fullness and the wholeness of life that opens up when you are able to go find him and open that door again, it's all that matters. So, I pray that for anyone who's feeling far away from that.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Rachel, for all you've shared. There's just time for one final track. You've already mentioned the name of it. It's High Hopes. It's your current track. Tell us all about that.
Yeah, this is one of my fun upbeat songs that I don't put out very often. I always do like a serious ballad, so it's been fun to have an upbeat song. But this is, you know, this song's about kind of finding yourself on a road that you didn't expect to be on in life, and being able to cling to hope and cling to something that you might not be able to see yet. You might not see the end of the storm yet. You might not see the sun coming through, but believing that it is there is you know, the hope that we cling to in life.
Been listening to the Artist Interviewed podcast, a podcast from Hope FM. And a massive thank you to Rachel Lamper for joining us today on the show. Oh, what a great lady, what a wonderful story, our faith-filled life as well, and what beautiful music. I hope you really enjoyed it. Just say there are many more deep dive, faith-filled conversations with other artists from the world of contemporary Christian music and worship for you to discover. Just head over to our brand new website. That's at theartistinterviewpodcast.com, and there you'll find all the links to the major podcast platforms. And if you like what you hear, please subscribe, like it, rate it, share it with a friend, or even leave us a review. And if you really, really like what you hear, you can also find out about ways to support the podcast. And that's at theartistinterviewpodcast.com. I'm your host, Gordon T, and I look forward to joining you on the next episode. God bless you.
Listen, subscribe, and support at theartistinterviewpodcast.com.